James chapter 1, and we're talking about a subject tonight, self-deceived. Self-deceived. That's a term that we only use when directing it to someone else, right? They're just self-deceived. It's real easy, maybe too easy, to see when the other person is self-deceived, but nearly impossible for us to see it in ourselves. Hence the term self-deceived, right? But it does happen so frequently with all of us. Solomon said in Proverbs 21:2, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts, not the ways, but the hearts. We think that we are right because we are doing right. We're going to church, reading our Bible. We even pray before every meal. Do you know that you can do right for the wrong reason? The Pharisees did. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees one time, and they said, we do this, we do that, we do this. He says, good, keep doing that. But you're missing the main point, loving God. So he didn't get on to them for what they were doing. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were just missing their main point, loving God with all their heart. But we're going to read here in James chapter 1. But before we do, I'm going to read to you this thing that a fellow by the name of Steve Gattina wrote about this subject. He said it this way. He said, your faith has a Sunday problem. You sing. You take notes. You feel something real. Then Tuesday at 2 p.m., somebody cuts you off in traffic and the sermon evaporates. Here's the uncomfortable truth I had to sit with this week. The spark is not the fire. Sunday lights it. Monday through Saturday either feeds it or lets it go cold. Because the real measure of your faith was never how loudly you sing on Sunday morning. It's how you live on Tuesday afternoon. The patience that you choose in traffic. The grace you extend when you'd rather hold the grudge. The encouragement you give someone who never saw it coming. He quotes this verse out of James chapter 1. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That verse leaves zero wiggle room. It's not enough to know what love means. You have to show it. It's not enough to quote verses about patience. You have to practice it. It's not enough to nod along about grace. You have to hand it to someone who hasn't earned it. The strongest sermons are never preached from a pulpit. They're lived. Amen. In how you treat people when no one is keeping score. Patience instead of irritation. Forgiveness instead of grudges. Kindness instead of judgment. And they're built in the small, unseen choices nobody claps for. Scripture over scrolling. Prayer over procrastination. Gratitude over griping. None of it makes a highlight reel. But that's exactly where faith either comes alive or quietly dies. Faith that doesn't change how you live isn't faith. It's information. Sunday prepares you. Your daily choices define you. So this week, don't just listen to a good word. Become one.
Amen.
Light the spark on Sunday, then feed the fire with 1,000 small decisions. No one applauds, but heaven notices. I don't know who Steve Gattina is, but he nailed it. Here in James, we're going to read, and starting in verse 19, chapter 1. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word. Lord, I need your help. I don't know what the needs are tonight in your people, not even in myself. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will handcraft what we need individually. Help me to say what I should and to refrain from saying what I shouldn't. Help me to deliver your message accurately tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
James starts this conversation with one of our hardest battles. James is known to be blunt and quick to the point. Most of us are quick to speak and slow to listen. James tells us here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to do the opposite. He says in verse 19, let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak. But we somehow feel like our peace is more important than theirs. What that does, just so you'll know, is it proves that when we're doing that, we are inconsiderate of their opinion. And normally when we're being inconsiderate, we're not going to have a profitable conversation. Y'all agree with that?
Amen.
That's why James says here, be swift to hear. Listen, we talked about this a little bit last Sunday, about communication. Ask questions. Explain to me what you're trying to say. I'm not really understanding. Okay, that's important, because if we're going to have a productive conversation, especially over a difference of opinion, we must understand their side. We can't understand their side if we're talking the whole time, interrupting the whole time, and saying what we want to say, and overriding what they're trying to say, even getting louder or trying to get louder than they are. That just doesn't go anywhere, does it? That's why James says, be swift to hear and slow to speak. But that's one of our bigger problems. I'm sure it stems from being selfish. We want our way, and we want it now. We do a good job of hiding that on the Sunday. At least in this room, maybe it sparks right back up once we get in the vehicle. That's why Steve Gattina said, your faith has a Sunday problem. The real measure of your faith is not how loudly you sing, how much scripture you can quote, how often you amen the preacher. It's how you live on Tuesday or Friday. How you respond or react to trying people or circumstances. We have those, don't we? Daily. We live next to them. We work next to them. Sometimes we live with them. Whether or not you choose kind words over harsh words with those you love the most after they have frustrated you in some way. The real test of following Jesus is not loving Christ, but loving Judas. It's easy to love people who love you. It's easy to love people who are kind, considerate, understanding, and forgiving. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. He also knew he was a thief. Yet he fed him, taught him, and never said a negative word about him. In the end, called him friend. Faith that doesn't change how you live isn't faith. It's information. That's our Sunday problem. We get a lot of information. If you really think about it, you just count up the sermons, the hours of time where you've sat under the preaching over and over and over. There is a lot of information up here. Yet we'll walk out of that door and then the next door, get in the vehicle, and start arguing and fighting. Minutes after the information was delivered. We have a Sunday problem. We're self-deceived. We don't come to church to allow the Holy Spirit to show us our sin and to change us. We come to soothe our conscience and to deceive ourselves into thinking that we're okay with God when we're not. That's the self-deception that James is talking about in verse 22. We'll read that again. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now look in verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The term looketh into the perfect law of liberty means to study God's word. The term and continueth therein means to be consistent in doing it. Every single day. The Sunday meal is not enough to nourish you for the whole week. Try that with food. You're going to die. right? Mm-hmm. If you only eat one meal a week for a long time. That's what happens to us spiritually too.
Amen.
We die.
That's right.
James, he urges us not to be a forgetful hearer. It could be that you and I really do get convicted by the Holy Spirit during a message and fully intend to change, but we forget. I don't know about you, but I have a problem being forgetful. Solomon's solution to this problem is to write it down. Put written reminders all over the place. And if you don't believe me, just read through Proverbs and you'll see what I'm talking about. He even says in one instance, he says, tie it about thy finger. You ever see in a book in the margin on the side, there'll be an important thing there that you need to remember. And in the, there's a little picture of a hand with the index finger up with a string tied around it. You ever seen that? What that's indicating is, hey, this right here is real important. You really need to remember this. You know where they got that from? Proverbs. So Solomon's solution is to this problem of forgetting. And I'm talking to us about this because I really do believe that we don't listen to the message and intend to walk out the door and forget it and not obey.
Amen.
But that's what we're doing. Because we forget. Nehemiah's solution to this problem is to write down your commitment. Sign it in front of people. Then, it gets worse. Set up consequences for breaking the commitment. And also set up accountability with other people. If you read through the book of Nehemiah, you'll see that. I think it's in chapter 10. There's where our breakdown is, I think. Again, we hear the message. I'm guilty of this. We hear the message. We feel the conviction. We want to do better. We may even say that to somebody. I sure need to do better in that area. And then before we even get down Lee Road, it never crosses our mind again. Because we're doing what James warned us not to do. We have become a forgetful hearer. James says that if we will be a doer and not a forgetter, we'll be blessed. I want to be blessed.
Amen.
Then in verse 26, he says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So now James is getting down to the nitty-gritty. I'm going to paraphrase what James said here in this verse. If you claim to be religious or righteous, but you don't control your mouth, you're not only not righteous, but you're self-deceived. Remember, you can do the right things for the wrong reasons. When I was 20 years old, I was looking for a good excuse to get out of church. I didn't like going. I didn't want to be there. But I was going. In fact, I was also running a bus route. Didn't like that either. I was doing the right things for the wrong reason. That was pointless. for me. It may have been good for those children that came on the bus. I'm sure it was. But it wasn't profiting me anything. James knew that our words are only a reflection of what's in our heart. How do you speak to people when they've done or said something that you didn't like? How do you react to those people on the road who drive differently than you? I have a problem with that myself. I get a little frustrated sometimes when people are driving down the road differently than what I think that they should. Invariably, somehow, the Holy Spirit finds a way to show me that the things that are aggravating me in them, I'm doing. Have y'all ever noticed that?
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking to myself, how hypocritical for me to be so aggravated with them, because I just did that. Now I'm mad at them for doing that. How do you respond or react? By the way, hitting your horn harder doesn't make it louder. If you're not speaking to people the way Jesus would, your faith has a Sunday problem. It's time to make a real commitment. Call it what it is. Sin. Confess it. Forsake it. Ask God for forgiveness. Then ask them for forgiveness. Follow Solomon's and Nehemiah's formula for sticking to your commitment. And then the Bible says here in the book of James that you'll be blessed in your deeds. I don't know what you need to do differently, but I do know this. I should have had steel-toed shoes on tonight because I'm convicted. There's times that I react in ways I shouldn't. I say things I shouldn't. I'm not loving. Instead, sometimes I'm selfish. The way we should live on Tuesday is the way that we attempt to live on Sunday. Then our faith is real. It's not just information.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see our sin. Father, help us not to point our fingers at other people, but to point our finger at ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would clarify in my mind what my sin is. Lord, help me to live out on Monday what you've taught us on Sunday. I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand if you would. And bring what number? Let's turn to 483 if you would. 483.
I will ever love.
Y'all for being here tonight, and I pray that the Lord will bless your week and help you to be a shining light wherever you go in the circle that you live in. Amen. So let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you for blessing us tonight. Thank you for allowing us another opportunity to enter your house. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Lord, I pray that your powerful healing hand will be on Brother Tommy. Ease his pain. Lord, help him to get good rest tonight. Give him and Miss Brenda the wisdom and discernment to do what needs to be done. I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.